In the last few episodes, we've been talking about fundraising, and I've kind of laid out this huge world of fundraising into kind of three buckets. Today, I want to talk about bucket number two, which is what I'm calling joint ventures. My name's Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy, which houses the on-demand self-storage boot camp. That's the premier training I offer that's designed to take you from wherever you are now all the way to putting your first or your next self-storage facility into service. And I'm also creating a course on fundraising for the small investor in the self-storage space. That will be out in a few months. So if you're interested in that, be watching for it. Look for the email. But today I want to talk about what I call joint ventures. Now, the titles and the buckets I'm using are not what your attorney will use. I'm doing it because it's kind of how my mind thinks. But joint ventures, technically, if you talk to a lawyer, it's not really, quote, fundraising. But I certainly relate to it as fundraising. Last week, we talked about syndications. Now, really, from a, quote, sponsor's point of view, one of the main differences between joint ventures and syndications are, in syndications, the investors are looking primarily for the activity of the sponsor to create the profit. So in syndication, sponsors typically have a lot more of a fiduciary responsibility. You certainly do in a joint venture too, but not this to the same degree. In syndications, the investors are pretty passive. In joint ventures, in many ways, I relate to it like it's a group of equal partners coming together, forming a joint company to take on a particular project or set of projects. So I'm going to give you two examples of joint ventures that I've seen and been involved with. Typically, most people I coach are getting in or fairly new in their self-storage careers. And the joint venture partners that they end up connecting with are usually people with more experience, more capital, the ability to execute on a larger deal that a small investor or someone doing their first self-storage project might not be able to do. So today, though, I'm going to give you two examples of some joint venture arrangements that I've seen with people I work with. So in the first example one, we're going to talk about joint venturing with a large, well-funded fund or company. So I was working with a group of partners, equal partners, and their business strategy was, and they had executed this before I met with them, but what they primarily did was either build or buy small self-storage facilities, and they remote managed them, actually before remote managing was actually a thing and or a big thing in the self-storage space. However, in their travels, they came across a number of sites in a number of pretty large markets where a multi-story, 100% climate control self-storage project occurred to them like it would work and it would work well. They don't do that. They'd never managed anything like that. They really weren't that interested in managing anything like that, but they saw all these opportunities. They were just passing by because it didn't fit in their wheelhouse. But they ended up putting one of these properties under contract, and beginning to go through the entitlement process. But the further in the entitlement process they went, the more they realized, hey, they didn't want to execute this deal. And they were working with me to help have me coach them on how to do the deal. After seeing their strengths and weaknesses and what their attention was on and what their concerns were on, it became clear to me they needed a partner or a joint venture partner. So at the time, we were able to connect them with a fund. Now, this fund no longer exists. It got bought out by another fund. But here was the arrangement that they were able, or we were able, to work out. The sponsors owned 50% of the deal. The joint venture partners, the JVs, owned 50%. The sponsors put in 10% of the equity needed. The JVs put in 90% of the equity needed. The JVs were also a large enough fund that they had different divisions, and their lending division was able to provide the loan. The sponsors guaranteed the loan until stabilization, and once the property became stabilized, it became a non-recourse loan. The JVs required a REIT to manage the deal. Now, when you're working with large funds, this is a very typical kind of arrangement that you might see in the fund world or in the JV world when you're working with large funds, of the sponsors putting in 10% of the equity, the JVs putting in 90%. I've seen that a lot in the world of funds. The other thing to get was that as the sponsors, or the people I was coaching, we're going to call them the sponsors in this case, although technically they're not sponsors, they're also joint venture partners, but the sponsors lost a lot of control. The JV partner pretty much dictated what the project was going to look like. They even dictated what color the doors were going to be. They dictated who was going to manage the project. They ended up putting doors. I think Extra Space ended up managing it, so they made it look like it was an Extra Space project. And usually with joint venture partners, you lose a lot of the control, but they were able to do the deal. The benefit to the people I coached was they were able to execute on a deal that they otherwise weren't going to execute on or were very scared to execute on. Ultimately, what they did was they didn't want to own these things. They realized once they got the first one up and stabilized. But ultimately, what they did was they actually created another division to their company. They had their main bread and butter, which was smaller, remote managed projects that these two partners can do. But they also, in essence, created another division, which was a development division, where they would find these opportunities, joint venture with a fund, build them, stabilize them, and then sell them, either sell them to the fund or sell them to a REIT. And so their self-storage company ended up having two main divisions. That was the benefit that the sponsors, or the people I was working with, got out of the joint venture. The benefit to the larger fund, the other joint venture partner, was they didn't have to do any of the heavy lifting. Someone else found the project, entitled the project, brought it to them. All they had to do was look at the numbers, do their own underwriting, get the REIT to underwrite it also, and then they could say yes or no, because it was a project that fit within their wheelhouse of properties that they were trying to place money in. And at the time, this fund had a lot of money to place, and they were looking strongly for deals in Tier 1 markets. So it was a real win-win, benefits to both sides of the equation. So let me give you another example of a type of joint venture I've seen. So a friend of mine, person I know, had worked, a number of years, spent about a decade in the self-storage business as a small investor, putting a company together, doing about 10 years worth of deals, created a brand, had a number of projects in a number of states, and in the height of the low cap rate acquisition frenzy of a lot of these funds, he ended up selling his brand, his portfolio out, and did real well with it. His company was disbanded, all the people that worked, they didn't have any more projects anymore. But rather than retire, which he didn't want to do, what he ended up deciding to do was to joint venture on the sponsor side with people doing syndications. Why? Well, he had a history of building a successful brand. He wanted something to do. He had a whole network of investors that had invested with him in his original brand. And he was able to bring his network of potential investors, his expertise, to people who needed help putting deals together. He set up a minimum criteria of a deal he would consider. It couldn't be someone's first deal. He didn't want to expose his network of potential investors to someone's first deal. They had to have already done a deal, be in the business, have a track record of at least one that he could point to and say, here's a success story, and here's the next one. Here's the next opportunity. He also had a minimum size of the projects, the amount of money going in the deal, population. So he had this whole criteria set up. Then he would not go on the loans, but he would get a percentage of the sponsor side of the deal, expose his network of potential investors to the opportunity, and that's how he would joint venture with other sponsors who needed help putting deals together. The benefit to the other sponsors was they were able to do deals. Yes, they had to give up some of their sponsorship side, but they were able to do deals that they wouldn't have done otherwise. The benefit to my friend was he got the sense of fulfillment of being able to support and help other people who were where he was 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and he's got something to do, and he's still building his net worth up. But he has a lot less risk, a lot less ownership. Win-win. So in conclusion, if you're considering a joint venture or want to explore using a joint venture to help you do a deal or do deals you wouldn't otherwise do, the first place I would focus on are the benefits. What are the benefits to the other party? What can you offer the other party as a benefit that would entice them to consider joint venturing with you? Then run your side and see if there's enough upside or enough money to make it worthwhile to you. You're only limited by your imagination. There is no end to the variety of joint venture partnerships or joint venture arrangements that can be put together. Your imagination is the only limitation. All parties need to receive benefits, and your imagination is the only barrier to the infinite number of potential joint venture arrangements that can be put together. Don't overlook this treasure trove of opportunity as you're considering putting your deals together in the self-storage space. Thank you very much. Next week, we're going to talk about funds, Reg A versus Reg D, all the fun stuff. So I look forward to being with you next week. And I will talk to you later.